Let's call this meeting of the House Fisheries Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 5:05 PM on Tuesday, March 28, 2012. Present today are Representative Osterman, Representative Herron, Representative Pruitt, Representative Miller, and myself, Chair Representative Thompson. People that will not be joining us today is Vice Chair Johnson and Representative Kawasaki, who have other commitments. On today's agenda, we will be holding confirmation hearings on administration appointees. Up for consideration, we have Clay Besnick and James, Jim, I think is what he's actually known as, Jim Herbert, reappointees for the Fisherman's Fund Advisory and Appeals Council. By way of background, the Fisherman's Fund is established in the Division of Workers' Compensation. The fund was established in 1951, and the fund provides for the treatment and care of Alaska licensed commercial fishermen who have been injured while fishing onshore or offshore. Benefits from the fund are financed from revenue received from resident and non-resident commercial fishermen's licenses and permit fees. The Commissioner of Labor and Workforce Development oversees administration of the program with assistance of the Fisherman's Fund Advisory Council. The council is composed of commissioner or his designee, who serves as chairman, and five members appointed by the governor. When the Fisherman's Fund administrator cannot immediately approve an application for benefits, it may go before the Fisherman's Fund Advisory and Appeals Council for review. Both of the council's appointees will be with the committee telephonically today. And, okay, the first one that we're going to do is online, and that's Jim Herbert. Jim, are you there?
Yes, sir, Mr. Thompson.
Yeah, please place yourself on the record, and we are ready to hear your comments and talk about yourself a little.
Yes, sir. My name is Jim Herbert. I am a resident of Seward, Alaska, and I have been in the designated seat representing District 3 on the Fisherman's Fund for more than 12 years, first being appointed by Governor Knowles. District 3 is from Yakutat down below King Cove, so it represents a couple of the districts of the members that are sitting there today. My own background is I first came to Alaska in 1971 and began my fishing career then out of Homer. And while the bulk of my fishing time has been in and around Kodiak and Cook Inlet, I have fished everywhere a little bit from southeast out Bristol Bay and have knowledge of some of the communities further north too. One of the things that I see as important about my role on the Fisherman's Fund is the knowledge of the fisheries and some of the specific individuals and vessels that are brought up in various claims that come before us. I think it really makes a difference when people know the fisheries, know the waters, and can kind of walk the mile in another person's shoes. And to a certain extent, I'll be blunt, that helps weed out some people that are perhaps trying to pull the wool over the bureaucratic eyes there. I feel over the years the Fisherman's Fund has generally done a good job of serving its clients, the fishermen of the industry. I know it's been recent development that the total amount of money that people can receive has been pushed up to $10,000 per standard claim, but we've always had the ability in extraordinary circumstances to give extra money to people who suffered injuries and have no other recourse, so there is that charity aspect to it all. The other thing that I think is, that I've always taken very seriously during my time on the board, is the fiduciary responsibility, because as the chair just mentioned, it's approximately 39% of fishermen's deck licenses and an equivalent amount out of fishing permits that establish the fund. And over the years, the balance has grown and has remained fairly stable for a number of years, we're kind of a little bit anxious to see what happens with this new higher limit to see if the total corpus of the Fisherman's Fund, which is currently between $11 and $12 million, is going to start to drop. So that's something that you as a committee may wish to put on your radar to see what happens with that over the years. Three issues I'd just like to bring up to you since I've got you for a few minutes here. One, a number of years ago, a 7-day kind of dude fisherman's license was put in effect with the idea that there might be tourists that are willing to go out on fishing boats for a few days to get the experience. I think that has deteriorated into a loophole whereby out-of-state people who pay the same rate as do in-state people are able to buy short-term, several long-term licenses in succession, and they kind of escape some of the fees that they're required to pay for the standard deck license. That may also be impacting the money that's going into the Fisherman's Fund, but more importantly, I think the intent, I think it was Representative Moses that first put that in effect a number of years ago. I think the intent is not being honored. Another thing I'd like to kind of bring up in something I seek to address at our next meeting, which is the 21st of March, I kind of have been a little unhappy about the high administrative cost of each claim and hope to kind of pinpoint efficiencies that we can make to the Commissioner of Labor to try to get better value for our administrative money, so to speak. So I'd like to at least keep you guys up to speed on that. And lastly, since a number of you are from the Fairbanks area, we have not been able to fill seat for District 5, which is kind of north of Bristol Bay, that kind of outer coast, Norton Sound, AYK area, and potentially the fishermen that fish on the Yukon. And I don't know if any of the folks from Fairbanks have any fishermen friends that they might tap, but that area, it's been at least 3 or 4 years that we have been unable to find a person to occupy that seat. And the sad thing there is those fishermen aren't getting the full representation. I know the APOC is sort of a real pain for a lot of volunteers like myself, but nonetheless, if you have anyone who might be interested in occupying that seat, I hope you'll pass that name along. Happy to answer any questions any of you folks have.
Thank you, Mr. Herbert. Representative Herring has a question.
Mr. Chairman, not a question, but yes, Paul Rode sat on that Western Alaska seat for a long time. So, Mr. Herbert, I'll put in the newsletter if there's anybody in the ABCP Norton Sound region that would like to submit their name.
Through the chair, Ms. Herring, yeah, that's great. Yeah, Paul was sat with me for quite a few years there, so sure appreciate his service. Thank you.
Mr. Herbert, just a side question. You've sat on this committee for many, many years. I sat on the Workers' Compensation Board back in the 80s, and I noticed that at the end of the construction season, suddenly, the month of September, everybody turned a claim. Does that same thing happen with the fisheries when the season hits the very last week of the season? Everybody gets hurt so they can get taken care of through the winter?
Not necessarily, because up until just a year or so ago, year and a half ago, the standard limit was $2,500, and it really only gets kind of paid to the provider, not to the individual. It's kind of like an insurance supplement. So, and I also think that typically the individual has to file that claim within 60 days of the injury. So let's say you got hurt, you jumped off the dock and broke your ankle. Of course, course you're going to get taken care of right away, but maybe you're hardcore and want to keep fishing and gimp around for another month or so, you still have to file that claim within 60 days. Otherwise, it gets into more headaches and appeals to get the claim. So I think it's more just that we see the claims as a function of the busyness of the season, and since most of the salmon fisheries happen in the summer, that's when most of the claims are generated.
Thank you. Other questions from the committee members for Mr. Herbert? Yes, Representative Osterman.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Herbert, could you, first off, how many meetings a year do you guys do?
There are two meetings a year. Usually one happens in Juneau, and one might happen up in Anchorage. One year we had a meeting in your hometown, and ironically, the one person who wanted to testify before us was from Kodiak, but he had a winter job driving cab in Anchorage, and he had to fly down to testify in front of us. I think last spring, we had a meeting out in Dillingham just to try to reach out to other fishermen and other communities, but I'll be blunt and say that this is not the most exciting stuff, and we have virtually no audience at any of our meetings.
My second question is, do all the claimants have to appear before the council for their claims?
Negative. We do, mostly it's paperwork, and the council has various forms. If a person has to appeal a late filing, or seeking more money or more time for treatment, all that can be done with paperwork. If there is an appeal that they feel they'd be better served by talking to us, they can appear in person, but it's also always been an option to do it telephonically.
Mr. Chairman, my final question is, brought up the issue of administrative costs. Do you know what those administrative costs are percentage-wise by the claims or by the amount of the claims? Or
To a certain extent, I don't have paperwork right in front of me now, sir, but I think we're seeing numbers that are getting up to $300 per claim, and we're talking about approximately 600 to 800, but let's say 700 claims per year. And right now there are two clerks that do most of the paperwork in Juneau. There's a part-time administrator, and one of my requests to the administrator for this upcoming meeting is just a breakout of the job descriptions of the various people and how the money is being allocated. I know you guys see it all the time, but when you work for the state, you know, everybody's got to share the lights in the building, and everybody's got to share the cost of the Xerox machine. Everybody has to pay for a fraction of the toilet paper that gets used in the heads, and this and that, you know. But it seems like there's too much money being spent on administration when the average claim is less than $1,000, I think.
All right, thank you, Jim. Appreciate your service.
Further questions by the committee members? Seeing none, we'll open this up to public testimony. If there's anybody else in the room or online who would like to comment on the reappointment of Mr. Herbert to the Fisherman's Fund Advisory and Appeals Court, Council?
I'm one of the members of the
item. There you go. Do you want to put your name and affiliation on the record, and we'll hear your testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jerry McKean. I'll be testifying on behalf of Cordova District Fishermen United. Good to see all of you again. And I know both the nominees personally, and I attended
had 2 days of Fisherman's Fund meetings last year, and James is very good. He's been there a long time, so he has that institutional memory and can bring up younger folks into speed in the Fisherman's Fund board. And Clay has been there just a short time, but Clay's fished all over the state, so he has a really good knowledge of some of the injuries you might see on the boat to this very important board. So we support them both for re-nomination, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Any questions, Mr. McKeown? Thank you for your testimony. And seeing none, nobody else, then we'll move on to our next person that we have, and that is Clay Besnick. Did I get that right, Clay?
Didn't hammer it too bad.
Pull a little closer to the microphone, and please place yourself on the record, and we'll hear your information. Go right ahead.
My name is Clay Besnick, and I live at 1617 Water Street in Ketchikan, Alaska, and sorry to if I kept anybody waiting, but I tell you what, I would have been fine not being on anybody's do not send Christmas card list this year. I was traveling today to Wrangell from Ketchikan, and I forgot about the 1 o'clock meeting. I thought it was them, and I thought about it at 2, so I apologize if I held up anybody.
Not a bit.
All right, good.
Tell us about your experience on the commission.
I've been on the commission one full term, and I guess the long and the short of it is the Fisherman's Fund Board helped our family out personally when I had a near fatal dive accident in 2002 while blue deck diving out in Craig, Alaska, and then when I was offered the opportunity to serve on the board, I didn't even hesitate at all. If I could give something back to the industry that's supported me and my family for the last 25 and a half years of married life anyway, and so I really enjoyed being on the board. Of course, I had some really good people to show me the reins. Jim Herbert being number one in my book, and a lot of times we're on different sides of issues, but I think that Jim's wisdom as far as the history of the board has really helped me to really understand the goings on and where we came from, and I've tried to respect that fact when we're dealing with issues concerning the fund. It's almost like a hallowed thing to any commercial fisherman that knows anything about it, except it was started before statehood by one of the founding members from Ketchikan. Ole Haynes was one of the old timers that thought about it, and it's really a great thing, and it's helped a lot of people, and it's a very good thing, and I really enjoy being on the board. Even though some of the decisions are really tough, it's still a great way to give back, so I appreciate the time I've been on it.
Questions by the committee? They're letting you off real light, Clay.
Oh, good.
We'll open it up to public testimony. Would anybody like to come forward in the audience? Is anybody else in line that'd like to testify? Seeing none, then we'll close public testimony. Okay, is there any further discussion by the members of the committee regarding the appointees? And without objection, the House Special Committee on Fisheries, having reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees, will forward Mr. Besnick and Mr. Herbert's names on to the joint session of the legislature for further confirmation. If members would please wait to sign the committee report, and remember that nothing that you has nothing to do does not reflect any members' intent to vote for or against either appointee when the proposed confirmation comes up on the floor. So with that, no objections, we will so move forward. This concludes our confirmation hearings for this evening. Gentlemen, thank you for being online and giving us your information. The Fish Committee will meet again this Thursday, March 1st, and we will be hearing House Bill 332, Chinook Research and Restoration Endowment Fund and HCR 25 Wildlife and Sport Fish Restoration Program. The time is now 5:25 p.m. and there being no further business, I adjourn today's meeting of the House Special Committee on Fisheries.